If you lose your wonder, you lose your worship. What makes us full of the Spirit is that we are full of wonder. So every time you sing to Him, every time you mention His name, every time you talk about Him, there's wonder. You know, so we have Christians who just call the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus, Jesus. You know, because there's no awe. And that's why, even when you pray, you just pray. It's prayer change, so you just go, get up, blah, blah, blah. Who do you think you're talking to? You just observe the motion. You walk up and down, and you pray. No awe. Where there is no wonder, there is no worship. You did not do anything. Let me share God's word with you. Have you said, Ephesians 5. Verse 17. Don't be unwise. What you need to do is to understand what the will of the Lord is. And how do you not be foolish? He says, you will not be drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you're not careful, I told you, I said, your attention might go to wine, alcohol. And that's a straw man's argument. That's a low-hanging fruit. No low-hanging fruit. A fruit you can just pluck. So you're doing Bible interpretation, and then you say, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. So Paul is saying, we can drink wine, but don't be drunk. No, that's not what he's saying. Again, look at where the focus is. The focus is on the natural versus the supernatural. He's using wine as an example of one who is intoxicated with the natural. Don't be all natural. Be full of the Spirit. Don't be all logical and senses and smart in your own head. Be full of the Spirit. And as Christians, we can get to a point in our lives where, you know, common sense is prevailing. And like I told you, I said, faith is not anti-common sense. It's just superior to common sense. It's not against it. It's only above it. The writer of Hebrews says, by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. That is, because of faith, there's an understanding that comes to us. Are you getting something? Alright, so, again, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. How many times in our lives have we gotten to a place where everything we're doing is just logical, senses? If I do it like this and do it like this, I get to this. If I put it like this and put it like this, then Paul is saying, when all you do is all you know, you are not filled with the Spirit. I'll say it again. When all you act on is all what you know, he says you are not full of the Spirit. So that means there's a world where I can be full of the Spirit. So I'm full of the Spirit. And we said, when one is full, don't forget where I've been coming from all this while. We said, there will be an overflow. You put a bowl, a jug, anything. Pour water. How do you know the jug is full? Not when it gets to the brim. No. When it starts to pour. Come on, is it making sense? When it starts to pour, then you say, it is full. If it's not pouring, then you can, scientists, you say there's one over 1 million ounce, something that's missing. There's this game I saw. I think couples play it. So they take a cup, and then you use tap, and then you, how many of you have seen the game? You've seen the game? You tried it? How many of you have tried it? Okay. Let's go. So, I didn't say you should not try it. It's nice. So, nah, I'm not trying it. So you open the tap, and there's water in the cup, and the other one opens. The goal is, you must not pour away. So, then you go, and you go, small like that. But how do you know the cup is filled? When it flows out. Come on, is it making sense? So, how do I claim I am full of the Spirit? How do I know? There will be an outpouring. There will be something that will be seen. There will be something that will be heard. I can't be full of the Spirit and there is nothing to show. And if there's something the devil will want, is that men are drunk with wine. to be intoxicated with the natural, with the senses. I don't, there was something that was going on recently. Of course, we already started the teaching before the trend happened, and then I'm just saying it, and people were mocking a certain church and say, I'm a chosen. Who are you? And all that. And it's funny. It's funny and all until you ask yourself the golden question. On whose side is this information? Does this exalt God or brings God down in my mind? What does the devil want to do? He wants to steal your conviction. And so someone gives a testimony for a miracle and say, oh, a miracle happened and all that. And say, I'm a chosen. How can you just say that? No, calm down. And I asked a question. I said, how many of you would have believed Moses if he told you we were by the sea and I stretched forth my hand and the sea parted into two and we walked. And when we were done walking, the sea closed back. You say, prophet. Ah, it's an alarm bell. Or Joshua tells you, he said, we wanted to bring down an entire city. We wanted the city to go down. 1,000 houses went down in a single day. So how did you do it? We were just marching. Joshua, where did you park the caterpillar? He said, no caterpillar. In fact, the only thing we used as an instrument. Said, oh, axe. He said, no, trumpet. Would you have believed? Would you have believed if Jesus told you we served water and it tasted like wine? Or we fed 10,000 people, just giving a figure, with bread and fish. He said, ah, which company supplied the bread? How many trucks? He said, nah, just five. He said, five, like 5 million or what? He said, nah, five loaves. The miraculous is not meant to be understood. It's meant to be coveted. God is not impressed by your intellect. The miraculous is not to make you smarter. It's not for you to understand it. I don't read the scriptures and I look at all that God has done for Israel. I love Israel a lot. Not present day Israel, amen. I mean, Israel of the Bible. not the people. Just get me clear. I don't know how to explain it. Their story. The people are... Was it not them that beat golden calf? Am I mentioning another person? I don't like them. But their story is amazing. And you look at everything God did for them. That's not meant to be understood. So I want to understand. So, when the water gave way, is it that? Because I read that the ocean is 50,000 feet deep. So, is it that they went down and they had to climb out or that God raised the sand? I don't care. You know what you pick from there? God always step in. It's not meant to be understood. It's meant to be coveted. And so Paul says, there must be something about your life that is not all logical. There must be something to you that is about the Spirit of God. There must be something to you that is about what God can do. He said, don't be immersed in the natural. Be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God bring out emotions. So we must develop a wonder. A wonder for what God can do. We must develop that awe, that wonder. Why does the enemy work so hard to discredit what God is doing? To bring your conviction down. To bring your conviction down. The Psalm 78. Shows of them. She said, miracles are not for understanding. The moment you understand, it's not a miracle. Could be a help, but it's not a miracle. Amen? Amen? It could be help. God helped. But it's not a miracle. A real miracle, you don't understand it. You don't know how it happened. A virgin birth. That's a miracle. Oh, I could not conceive before for years. Then later we conceived. Beautiful. God helped. Amen. And if it's IVF, say it in the testimony too. We did IVF and it was successful. Nobody will beat you up.
Hallelujah.
I be the child with IVF, we all have big head. Say, more than woman, you know. I walk more here, IVF. IVF. No, no, it's still the same. But you just want to, you want to make it a miracle. No, a miracle will come. Amen. Don't form it. It will come. Don't form it. Don't form a testimony. God will step in. Don't be drunk with wine. Where is the next? Be filled with the Spirit. Psalm 78. So we said, I said, God wants us to live our lives in the supernatural. Or by the supernatural. And how do I know I'm filled? There will be overflow. There will be an overflow. Something will be seen. Something will be heard. Something will be happening that shows that, no, this brother, this sister is not all logical. How can you live your life and there's really nothing about what God is doing? The leading of God is absent. The thoughts of God are absent. The actions, the motions of God, where are they? And you say, I'm filled with the Spirit. No, you're not. Maybe you're full, but you're not full of the Spirit. When you're full of the Spirit, it flows out into your daily life. You're praying, you know, just go. When last did you cry when praying? Now, I'm not a fan of tears. I don't cry too much myself. Amen? But when last, you know, sometimes you need to ask yourself some things. When last did you cry while praying? Oh, that's not for Christocentric. You're too full of the Spirit to cry. That means it's not overflowing. When last were you singing and then tears were coming out? Oh, you think it's newborn again Christians, baby Christians that feel that? No. It's Christians that feel that. When last were you enveloped in the glory of God? You knew, you could feel His presence. I'm not saying you know His presence in you. I know that one. Maybe you can teach me more. I'm saying you could feel. That's what it means when you're full of the Spirit. You have gotten to a point where Christianity has become mathematical. And you're praying in tongues and then you're answering text. Where is the Spirit? I know some years ago I went to pray somewhere. And, you know, so as we were praying, I've shared the story many times. So I saw people holding pillars and people, you know, have you been to those CSC churches before? And people that really want to pray and they want to, it's about war. There's an enemy to die. So, I know, you can't be soft with the devil, amen. If you are a softy, the devil takes you out. He takes you out. Softy, say this one, get out. You can't be soft. You can't have a soft spot for the devil. And so, you're shaking. You know that song? There's no way God will not even stand up. So I started, I just went, glory exuding. In my thoughts, I wasn't even asking God though. But God is there in my thoughts. And I just asked myself, I said, why are these people moving everywhere like this? Then they know that He's in. Say, don't they know that He is in? Why are they praying like this? And God told me, almost an audible voice. So much I was looking back, what's going on? He said, the question is not why are they praying like that, it's why are you not praying like that? There is nothing about lack of zeal and passion. The lack of zeal can never be spiritual growth. You can't say, I have grown spiritually so I don't cry again. I've grown spiritually, so I don't really feel God like that again. I just do it. I'm not saying you have to feel it every time. I'm saying, when last did you? Psalm 78. I didn't forget. So, he said, don't be all logical, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be all natural, be filled with the Spirit. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in the prayer. How many of you want to hear God? Anyone? Anyone here? Okay, good. I open my mouth in a parable and I will utter that saying. See that? This is God talking. He said, sometimes when I open my mouth, you can't understand. And he shows how the supernatural is. So I open my mouth and I utter dark things. I told you, that is Moses seeing the bush burning. There's fire. The bush is not burning. The bush is not consumed and he doesn't know why. Sometimes that is exactly what it means when you are led by the supernatural. Sometimes you don't understand why. So, the supernatural goes up and above our senses. That sense. God says, I can expose you to things that don't make sense. Don't be filled with wine. Be exposed to sometimes the things that don't make sense. Don't be filled with wine. Be exposed to the Spirit. Let's read on. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Verse 4 says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. For he has commanded our fathers that they should be made known unto their children. So what David's saying? He's saying, what God has done, he has commanded that it should be told to our children. The supernatural, the hands of God. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their own children, that they might set their hope in God. Interesting. He says, we will tell about the praises of God and the glory of God to our children, so that they can set their hope in God. It means, look up, what the devil is about. What the devil wants is not just your own conviction. He wants to steal a generation. I'll say it again. That is why when something is going on in the media about the church, about the miraculous, about the supernatural, it's not just about I'm a chosen. It's about a lot of things. You know, I mean, if you have observed that when a pastor does something wrong, it goes far. It goes, it trends. Let me say this. Or a church. You have observed, the comments are plenty. Huh? Who do you think is in charge of that? It's not God. And what will the devil aim to achieve? I've been saying this one for years. It's not just to steal your own conviction, which is primary. He wants to steal a generation. I was telling someone, was it yesterday? I saw something on Twitter. And someone said, I sincerely hope this is not the last generation of praying mothers. I grew up seeing my mother pray. Some oftentimes she forced me, amen. I don't know why. Kunle means go on your knees. So we start praying. Of course I sleep off. And then you wake up and she's still praying. And guess who will wake up before you again? And you come and wake you up again. Oh yeah. Morning devotion. And then let's go. Hallelujah. And the next thing you hear is, amen, amen. Which amen? You are done. And someone said, hope this is not the last generation of praying mothers. Of course, my context, praying fathers too. No father will be sleeping. And I said, how true is that? What the devil wants to steal is a generation. And so, what is the antidote to that? We will put the word of God in our mouth. We will put his works, his leadings. We will keep saying it. Bro Hagin will say, when the truth of God's word is not spoken, a generation misses out. He just paraphrased that. Let's read on. So that they must set their mind in God, or their hearts, their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keeps his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set their hearts right, whose spirit was not steadfast with God, Now look at this one. Can we read verse 9 and to 11 together? Wait. I want you to be settled. Someone's still writing. We are all going to read from verse 9 to 11 together. Want to go? The children of Ephraim, being armed and carried their bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He has showed them. Interesting. Don't forget where you're coming from. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with Spirit. I mean, what's the implication, the interpretation? I didn't say don't be natural. Don't be all natural and senses and logical. Allow God's imprint in your life. I mean, let there be an outflow, an overflow of the Spirit within upon. Let there be an overflow of the Spirit within upon your works, upon your life, upon your family, upon your ministry, upon your career. Let there be the imprint of the Spirit on it. Say, I allow God in every place in my life. Hey, I thought you said that. There's no part he cannot touch. There's no part he cannot change. Amen. He says, the children of Ephraim, being armed, they turned back in the day of battle. You know, some years ago I was reading this, and God asked me to read from verse 11 back to verse 9. I'm going to do that for you. And that was 2014. 14, yeah. That was at the chapel of Christ Our Light. You know, like, that night. I can't remember. I think we just finished Bible study in the chapel. So I stayed back. And I went to this place. And God asked me to read again. So we're going to read verse 11. Then we go back to verse 9. Is that clear? They forgot His works and His wonders that He showed them. And when they did that, they kept not His covenant and refused to walk in His law. So the children of Israel, of Ephraim, even though they were armed, carrying bows, they turned back in the day of battle. And it just makes sense. The reason why they turned back was because they forgot His works. The reason why they turned back in the day of battle, even though they were armed, was because they forgot His works. They didn't keep His works in their face. How am I full of the Spirit? I keep God's wonder in front of me. I must never lose that wonder. The day a Christian comes out of wonder and steps into understanding, he's not full of the Spirit. We are in a generation that wants to understand everything. How did Jesus turn water to wine? If you understand that one, can you bear it? I was watching the match yesterday, Champions League, and to God's glory, Arsenal we brushed away the champions of France easily. Easy work. Amen. And the coach of PSG, so the journalist asked him a question. He said, what tactics did Mikel Arteta, that's Arsenal's coach, what tactics did he use to render you this impotent? Because yeah, that's what we did exactly. Amen. I'm making mouth now. I was scared for the match. I was scared so much I was shaking. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor, are you shaking? Be filled with Spirit. I am. Alright. The coach, he responded. I love listening to pressers. He said, when they said, ask him for the tactics, he said, if I tell you, will you understand? That's serious. He said, if I tell you the tactics that coaches are using, will you actually understand? If God decides to make you understand miracles, you think your brain can carry it? How the sea gave way. Okay, let's try it. How 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes were able to feed thousands. You think your brain will figure it out? You that to get vision like this, you first faint. Small angelic appearance, you faint. Say, G. Lay in advance. Now you want to understand the works of God. There is understanding, and there's a place of wonder, and in between is faith. Don't be drunk with wine, be filled with Spirit. I'll say it again. There's understanding, and there's a place where you're exposed to God's wonder, And in between is where faith lives. Let's go back to Psalm 78. That's where we are. So, why would Ephraim, the children of Israel, why would they fail? They are harmed, yet they backed out from battle. Why will they fail? Because they did not keep the works of God in front of them. They forgot His works. It means God's works are made to be remembered. The supernatural, the glory of God, the miraculous, they are done so that we can remember it. The next time you are in a fix, the next time that something appears to be going wrong, you must remember. God told Israel, go forward. You must remember that God steps in. You know what happens? When you are not full of the Spirit and you are all natural, something happens. Everywhere is dark. Looks like your back is against the wall. And then Christians start fidgeting. Starts shaking. I don't know what to do in life. Everything appears like it's not working fine. Pastor, you cannot understand. Nobody understands me in life. See, everything's in my head. I'm the one I know what I'm going through. I'm the one I know where I'm coming from. I'm the one I know what's happening to me in life. Nobody's there. Nobody's there. You have put your eyes away from somewhere. Nobody's there. The entire situation is hopeless. Can it be as hopeless as you see a sea in front of you and you see an army who are going to destroy you at the back? How hopeless can a situation be? Yorubas have a saying, they say, Oba run inisha, Odo Oba kun. Isha Oba Oshay Majer, Odo Oba Reka Ekoshay Wo. Let me explain before you say, yeah? Incantation. Yeah, the king sends you on an errand, but the river is full. You must deliver the king's message. And you can't enter the king's water. That's what they call a fix. But we have read it over and over again. The Bible itself is a documentary of God's interventions. Man sinned, He will send His son. Israel in Egypt, Moses will go. Pharaoh will not let them go. Okay? I'll turn their water to blood. Oh, He let them go. But there's the Red Sea and it's coming from the back. And then I'll split the sea. Oh, now we have, the sea has been splitted. We are now on the other side. But God, no food. I can't eat. And God said, for 40 years, you don't need to look at the menu. I'll feed you. What about our shoes? It will not wear out. And at the point they said, we are tired of food. And before they said the next word, God sent meat. Already roasted. The Bible is enough. Enough. To show you that God steps in. Why don't I see it then, Pastor? Why does it not feel real to me? Because you are drunk with wine. What happens to a drunk man? His senses give way. There is nothing else that makes sense. You tell him, God, Jesus can do this for you. It doesn't make sense. He is drunk in the natural. He is drunk with wine. Nothing else makes sense. No counsel, no advice, no instruction. You tell some people, you say, take a fast. That's some years ago. I tell someone, take a fast. Take a fast for so number of days. I'll join you. Imagine me that I don't have the issue. I was fasting. This bro. Mukori Chicken Republic. Chicken Republic. You are the one that came to me with an issue. How can the issue go? Two hands. As you saw me, wanted to, I said, wait there. I almost called his name now. Drummer! What is this in your hand? You know, that question in the Bible, that God asked Adam, what have you done? He said, what is this in your hand? He said, I have been fasting on. It's just today they are doing promo. Promo. So he now bought two. At 10 a.m. At 10 a.m. And then he go fast. And Antonio Egbawe, don't just, huh? Amen. Don't worry about that one. It's not Greek. And it's not tongues. And it's also Chicken Republic too. No instruction makes sense. In his own mind, I will fix it. But what's Paul's instruction? Don't be drunk with wine. Again, the focus is not on alcohol. Right? Remember, I'm not saying you have a leeway now to go take alcohol. Nah. I don't have. You should not be stupid, amen. So is he right or wrong? Abba, why are you asking me? If you have to ask me if it's right or wrong, the chances are that it's wrong. Amen. God has placed in you a litmus. Discernment is in every man. Is he right or wrong? Well, will you like it if, you know, so every service they give me water, right? I rarely take though. But they keep putting water there. So imagine when they just come and meet Heineken. 3 bottles. Hello? For the man of God. 3 bottles, in case he doesn't like Heineken, star. Like stars, like the stars of the heaven, so shall your children be. So you see star, just three. Three Heineken, 3 stars on the left, Heineken on the right. Amen. What will you say about this glorious house church? Say, it's really glorious. Last time I went there, their pastor, he's a star boy. You don't start asking, is it right or wrong? You just go ahead and say, it's wrong, come on. That's not a church. Amen. Or as I'm preaching to you, I just say, excuse me. Sorry, I'm not holding it very well. I've not heard this before. Tom, please. You don't ask me if it's right or wrong, because it's wrong. Amen. When you start asking yourself, is it right or wrong? Have you ever asked yourself, is it right to pray? Is it right or wrong to actually pray? If I want to give in church, to give offering, is it right or wrong? You know it's right. The media convinces you that you are giving to the pastor. The pastor is getting richer. Where's the riches? So the pastor is getting richer. Pastor is buying Rolls Royce. No, it's keke. I should be drinking keke every day. Hallelujah. I'm filled with spirit. So don't be drunk with wine. Where is the next verse? Be filled with the spirit. We're in Psalm 78, right? So we said, why do we fail in the natural? Why do we fail in ministry? Not we, amen. Why do men fail in ministry and in places where God has actually equipped them for? Like the children of Ephraim, Psalm 78 verse 9, like the children of Ephraim, some turned back in the day of battle because they did not put God to work in their minds. So what is one of the tools of being filled with the Spirit always is to stay in wonder of the works of God. Again, like I said earlier, I said sometimes you don't understand the works itself. You can't explain it. And I told you, I said, miracles are not meant to be understood. They are meant to be coveted. They are meant to impress you. If you want to understand it, you want to understand how, you want to understand salvation, even salvation. We are still on it. Amen. We explain everything that is written. Then you ask, how is Jesus in your heart? Oh yeah, open it. Huh? What you just read out is that he said he will be there. If you dissect your heart, you don't see him. If you dissect your brain, you don't see him. But I know he's there. Oh, I know. There are some of you here, you know I know. Hallelujah. There are some things you can't convince me against. Am I the first time I lay hands on the sick? And the lump disappeared. You can't tell me there's no healing. It's a waste of time. You're talking to the wrong person. I have healed the sick. I've been healed myself. So, you come tell me it's not in your heart. There's nothing like that in your heart. If we open your brain, we did a cross section. We did a cross section and we did clinical and then we opened up. When time we opened up, what we saw was the aorta, and from the aorta we saw the left ventricular. He lives in me. There is a gap between understanding and exposure to wonder. And that gap is where faith lives. Amen. Can I tell you something? Psalm 78, that's where we are. So when we forget his wonders, or we get accustomed to his wonders, we start living in the flesh. We start becoming affected. The reason why he loved people, the fire is waning. The fire they had for God. The zeal they had for God. I know how a lot of us started. When I started serving God, just a few days ago, I had a lot of friends. We started together. We used to travel. I've told you some of the stories. We used to travel to Ilorin for conferences. We traveled to Kogi at a point. You know, the fire was there. I was printing tracts with my own pocket money. Far back as 2004, 2005. I was printing tracts with my pocket money. I remember going to Pastor Barani's shop one time. He had a printing shop. I can still say this to him. I still told him, we went for your wedding. Samuel's wedding in Ibadan. And I was thinking, I said, sir, I remember that time I came to your shop to print tracts and I brought, 20 naira. It's 20 naira or 10 naira. And normally they will print it about, because it was much. They bring about 25 naira. I think it was around 4, 5. You remember, myself and my friend is a pastor in Netherlands now. So we went to him. He used to have an apostolic faith. So we wanted to give to secondary school students. And he told us, he said, there's this lady that used to work in his shop, a graphic designer. That lady worked there for long. And, they were saying, yeah, money's not complete and all that. She knows me, junior. So pastor came, Pastor Brian, they came and he said, ah, is it not church tracts? Is this grace? I said, it's not his grace. Print it for them. He said, do you want extra? He printed extra copies. So since then, I used to go there. Amen. Let God use you too. So we used to get it for free. Amen. I mean, we started like that. It was burning. It's still burning. If you observe a downward, a coldness, then you must start looking at yourself. Say, what happened? It means the awe, the wonder you had for the Lord has gone down. So we sing, you see the emergence in Christian songs, what we call Christian songs. And I told you from next year, we are going to start having hymn books, right? Glorious Church hymn book. If you buy the general hymn book or have our own hymn book, as you are coming to church, you come with your Bible, your jotter, and your hymn book. Not the Christian that does Jesus, my heart, yo. No depth. There is joy, but there's no depth. And that's why that joy is soon gone. Jesus explained it in the seed of the sower. He said, the one that grew up on the rocky grounds is like the one that heard the word. And straight away he was filled with joy. He was filled with joy. He said, but watch, when the sun is come, because he has no roots. Songs all about money, all about possession. What's the difference between that and what normal secular singers will sing? We have left that place of awe where we see the wonder of God. Put yourself there. You were there when the sea was parting. How would you worship? You fall on your knees. How would you call the name of Jesus? You were there. You saw 10 lepers cleaned immediately. How would you worship? We'll just come to church and just say, glory! 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 No. The children of Ephraim, they will turn back because the works of God is not in their minds. Psalm 78. That's where we are. Learn something. Look at verse 40. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. So he explained, how did they tempt God? They limited him. They put a cap on what he can do. They said, God, this is where you stop in my life. This is all you can do. This is all I will allow you to do. Verse 42. This is how they did it. Because they remembered not his hand, not the day he delivered them from the enemy. So I told you, I said, God's work is meant to be remembered. you have it in all of the scriptures so that you can remember it. It means the supernatural and your brain is a perfect match. God told you about the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead. You saw him go to Lazarus' funeral, supposed funeral, and turn it to celebration. You saw him. You saw him heal the sick. You saw the wonderful works of God, even in the Old Testament. You saw Daniel thrown into the lion's den. And they were expecting his bones in the morning. And Daniel said, "Hello, King. How are you doing? Good morning, sir." You saw the Hebrew brothers, three of them, thrown in the fire. So much that the people that threw them into the fire got bones. Look at that. It appears that fire consumes something, but not something. We'll look at that so much later. Something is going on in my head. The people that threw them in fire got burned, and they did not. And the king saw four men. We threw three, we saw four. You read all of that, and then the only way you bring God into your life is when you want to break or cut cake. And the only way you allow God to intervene, watch how you pray. Watch how you pray. If it's becoming mere exercises, you will soon stop praying. It must come from the place of wonder. I love that song. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all that your hands have made, my soul will sing. We must keep that wonder. When we lose our wonder, we walk in the flesh. Go back to Ephesians 5. I'll start closing it. Learning something? How do I know I'm full of the Spirit? He said, you are not full until you are what? Is that one? Okay. You are not full until you are what? That's how we know you're full. So, if I want to stay full, something must keep happening. Because when you overflow, it's meant to reduce. Come on. Logical? Common sense? If something is overflowing, the content ought to reduce. The only way it doesn't reduce and keeps overflowing is that it keeps taking in. Come on. Come on. So, if I'm full of the Spirit, like Paul instruct, Ephesians 5:19. Don't be drunk with wine, be full of the Spirit. If I'm full of the Spirit and I'm overflowing, it means to stay full, I must not stop receiving of the Spirit. If I stop receiving, then I stop being full. It means the supply of God's Spirit must always be received by me. And that's as simple as it comes. How do I keep the supply flowing? In my wonder. In the simple things. In what I give my heart to. Jonah says, those who observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. It means, I must put my hands on the right things. In the right place. The devil has set out in this generation to be peculiar, to be specific. To bring down the way we see God. Unfortunately, it's working. But no more. Play for me, it's close. The devil has set it up in a way that people start feeling, you know what, I can actually live this life without God. You know? I really don't need anything like God. The first thing I did when I got my own freedom from my parents was I stopped going to church. The first thing I did, I stopped going to church. Nobody can cage me. That's interesting. How can someone say, I should not do the things that suits me? How do you put it now? No pastor has the right to tell me not to drink. No pastor has the right to tell me not to club. No pastor has the right to tell me not to smoke, not to gamble. I don't listen to anybody. I only live once. I don't know one person. Someone, tell you guys. I shared it with you. He told me, he said, nobody can impart my freedom. I said, let me let you know how you are not free. I dare you to stop smoking. Let me know when you stop. I asked him 2 weeks after, did you stop for a day? He said, no. Are you truly free? If you're truly free, you stop. There's a freedom. That freedom outside of God's counsel is not freedom. It only looks like it. It's pseudo. It looks like freedom, but it's not. There's a way that seems right to a man. Look at it. Look at that word. It seems right. My God, it seems right. It means the man is looking at you and telling you, this is right now. But that sin is the theology. That sin. You see that S-E-E-M? That is the theology. The way seem right. The writer of Proverbs is the one that is now doing the theology. The man will have reported that this way is right. The scripture says, it seemed right. It says the end is destruction. It means you need God more than you know, more than you think you need him. You are not God, so you don't have the best eye view. You're not God, so you don't see everything. You don't see the entire picture. It seems right, but it's destruction at the end. And Paul will tell you, don't be filled with logic. Be filled with the Spirit. He's not saying don't think at all. There are some things in life you have to think. I have a teaching like that, right? We have a teaching like that, right? Am I thinking at all? One of our classics. Go and listen to it. It's all about common sense. Amen? Common sense. But Paul is saying, let everything about you not be common sense. Paul told the church he met. Remember those guys in Acts 17? And he told them, he said, God made the world and everything in it. Look up, listen. He said, he told the ocean where to stop. He said, he put inhabitants in different nations. See the way Paul is saying it? He said, so that paraventure, man will feel after God. The way you are made to always need God. The richest of men on the earth will let you know that after having the money, there is something missing. So they fill it with a lot of things. Some fill it with philanthropy. Some fill it with endless adventures. Let's travel to Saturn. Let's go to this place. There is something missing. But the man with Christ, without those wealth, is telling you, we are completing them. And you ask him, what else do you need? Say, nah, I'm okay. I've got all I need. And your own psalm is, I have all that I need. And there is someone who is worth $900 billion. And he's saying, there is something I still need. I don't have everything. And you are singing, I have all I need. God made man to always need him. So when you don't need him, the devil is working. Someone else has filled the space. Don't be filled with logic. Oh, that story. I know how to go about life now. I know how to go about everything. If I need this, I do this. If I do this, I do this. If I actually up my game in this one, I get this, I get this, I get that. It's not about church. It's not about, come on, I'm my own man. I have my own brain. That's the reason for education. That's the reason. Ooh, la, la. We were made to praise him. We were made to need him. we were made to feel after him. It says all things were made for his pleasure. To bring in pleasures. You must keep that awe. There's something that when every time I say it, it takes me back. Every time I sing any song that has Almighty God, it takes me back. Because you must think on what you're saying. Almighty God. You know what that means? Almighty God. Almighty God. He is the Almighty God. That's serious. He has all might. The wise man said, he said, the heart of the kings is in the heart of God. He steers it how he wants. You think on that. And you worship him. You know, we're in a very fickle generation. You claim to be praying and you're doing selfie or whatever, live. You are praying to the Almighty God. Do you know what you're doing? Moses dare not try this. This is Moses who parted the sea. You know, the here and the card booster. Paul says, he that speaks in own tongues does not talk to man. He's talking to God. You're talking to God and you go, look out, you have to see. You're not full of the Spirit. You're full of yourself. It's a call. It's a call to Spirit-led Christianity. Where God is actually the king, not you. What we are doing these days is we are creating a God of our own size. A God you can control. A God that likes everything you like. Yeah. If he likes everything he likes, then he is not the Lord. You are. God is not obliged to like what you like. You are obliged to follow after him. You're going to pray for yourself tonight. Just pray for yourself. There's a change in my worship. I said it earlier. When we lose our wonder, we lose our worship. Lose that wonder. That's all. Then we lose our worship. God help me. Help my heart. Help my heart. Help my heart. Jesus. What people saw when they met with you, I want to see it. What people felt when they met with you, I want to feel it. What people heard. Paul kept reiterating that event. He said, that day I saw the Lord. He kept saying it. Have you seen it? What kind of Christianity is this? Have you seen it? Have you felt him? You're talking to the Almighty God. When you stand to preach in his name, are you actually preaching? Do you have that fear? That holy passion of a messenger of the Almighty God. A messenger of the money. You have that fear. Lakure ke zonde akashadada. Oh Lord God. Fill us with your heart. Fill us with your likes. Fill us with your passion. Fill us with the things that move you. Let us dance to the rhythm of your heart. Fill us with your wonder. Fill us with your dream. Take us back to that place where only your glory prevails. Where only your name is exalted. May we not build golden calves in our hearts. May we not build the God of our own size. May we not build a God we are controlling. May we not have idols in our hearts. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. There's a place between understanding and our exposure to his wonder. That's where faith lives. That's where his glory thrives. Fill us till we are overflowing. In our prayers, in our worship, in our ministries. Fill us, Lord. And now my heart before you, Lord. I know my life is not my own, and I offer the song of praise to bring you pleasure, Lord. I seek the giver and his gifts. My heart's desire is to lift you above all earthly things, to bring you back. To bring you pleasure, Lord. To bring you blessings. Amen, amen. Blessings and glory. Thanksgiving and honor. Power and might be unto the Lord. Take me back to that place of wonder. Fill me with your wonder, Lord.